I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it.
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Chris Ello.
You still have to have the God-given ability and talent and skill to be able to pull it off the way Tony's dad did. College kids trying to pull off something that a Hall of Famer could only pull off.
Tony Gwynn Jr.
All facts, you are looking in... talking to a walking byproduct.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
What's up, San Diego? In on this Tuesday afternoon, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. A long four-hour show ahead for you, but we've got it filled up nice with some great guests. Coming on, Dennis Lynn will be with us later on in the 3 o'clock hour. We've got playoff baseball. Red Sox take a 2-1 lead against the Astros in pretty big fashion. And right now, currently, the Dodgers trying to get their first win against the Atlanta Braves, down 2-0 in the series. Currently up 2-0 against the Braves in the bottom of the second. And Chris, how's your day going today? I mean, before we start getting into sports, man.
It's a great day, man.
How are you, my
friend? It's a great day sitting with you and talking sports for four. Oh, wait, and sitting with Scraby.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes. Been waiting for that.
But, yeah, talking sports for 4 hours with a couple of ball games. And on top of that, opening night in the NBA.
Yes, sir.
I think it's high time that J.R. Rodgers and his fine engineering staff here at the Odyssey Palace get our second television fixed. Because,
you know, that would be nice.
Yeah, all we can do is watch baseball, and we'll have to kind of keep our eye on basketball tonight. But great opening night doubleheader, Brooklyn against Milwaukee, and, of course, the Lakers and Warriors later tonight. So it's a good day to have the clicker handy and be flipping back and forth. It's a great sports day, and some good action last night, Monday Night Football. I tell you, the NFL, man. They just never have a bad game. It seems like. I mean, you just wait for, like, one night where the score will be 27-3 and, you know, there really be no interest. Right down to the final minute, and Tennessee beat Buffalo last night. But just a great game, and could have gone either way if Josh Allen doesn't slip on that quarterback sneak.
I continue to marvel at human beings that attempt to try to tackle Derrick Henry.
Oh, I feel for those guys, especially in the fourth quarter.
That is some mental gymnastics you have to get your mind into in order to even attempt to make the tackle.
Yeah, I don't know what it was like back in the days when guys much smaller than the athletes are now were trying to tackle Jim Brown. But if you think about it, it probably had to be something similar. And just think, I mean, safeties and linebackers in those days were, you know, 210 pounds, 190 pounds. Jim Brown was as big, if not bigger, and maybe as fast as Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
At least the guys trying to tackle him now have some more size. But 143 yards, three touchdowns, 76-yard run. this guy's unreal. And, you know, he makes Ryan Tannehill look like a reasonably good quarterback. You know, I mean, I watched Tannehill for so long with the Dolphins, not able to ever get anything done, but he never had anybody to hand off to like this.
Yeah,
and
it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. And Josh Allen's spectacular. You know, this guy, when he's on the run, he makes some great throws, did so last night. And, you know, this is a great game. I mean, Tennessee's bounced back. I mean, you know, when you see what happened last night, to me, it makes all the more impressive what Arizona has done going off to a 6-0 start. Remember, they opened the season at Tennessee, and they crushed them. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, Buffalo's only 4-2, but they're still the best team in football. I don't think that's fair to the Cardinals right now. Not that the world has to be fair to the Cardinals, but they're 6-0 and have impressive wins to back it up. They don't have a. It's not like they played an easy schedule. They beat the Rams in L.A. So I think the Cardinals ought to be the team that everybody's keeping an eye on. It's kind of interesting that they're going under the radar, even though they're undefeated.
At the very least, it shouldn't be that the Buffalo Bills are just far ahead of everybody, as
yeah,
some
I wouldn't
seem
say
to make
that.
It seem, right? Because there's a lot of good AFC teams that, when it's all said and done, you know, have a legitimate chance to be a Super Bowl contender. There are a lot right now, and so although you know that ball club is as good as any in the AFC and the Buffalo Bills, there are a lot of good teams. You mentioned the Cardinals on the other side in the NFC, but you got the Baltimore Ravens also on that same side. You still got, don't forget, I know the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs right now. That team isn't going to go anywhere either. So
no,
there are going to be a bunch of teams in it when it's all said and done. But certainly, you know, going back to last night in that Red Sox game, it kind of felt like that was a pivotal game for the Astros in that situation. And it turned out to go as bad as it could go for that ball club and that pitching staff, more important.
Yeah, when you don't get out of the second inning, and Dusty Baker so far in three games has seen his starters combined pitch 5 2/3 innings.
Yeah,
that's
three games.
Starters. They haven't even made two innings on average, so his bullpen's getting wiped out. And I don't think I'd want to be Zach Greinke tonight. I mean, he's got to pitch against this Boston lineup. And the Red Sox are hitting
everything.
Well, I should call them the Slam Sox.
They're hitting everything.
It doesn't have the same ring as Slam Diego, but I'd imagine the Slam Sox, probably a couple of shirts will be made or outside Fenway Park. I mean, three grand slams in one series. That's never happened before in the history of baseball. And Schwarber hits one last night. By the way, it was on a 3-0 pitch. I don't know. Are you allowed to swing at 3-0 pitches? Ever since Fernando did it, it seems like it's the end of the world.
Yeah,
but,
I think it's okay.
Yeah, Boston's red hot, and they're smoking everything. Four home runs last night, and Kike Hernandez didn't hit any.
Nope. Two for four.
He had two hits. He's hitting .615 in the postseason. And, yeah, the way Boston's hitting right now, Zach Greinke certainly got his work cut out for him tonight. There's no question. And yeah, Dusty Baker needs somehow to get four or five innings from him to give his team a chance to get their offense on track. We know Houston can hit, but Tony, I mean, I'm speaking to you and the son of one of the greatest hitters of all time. It's a little different hitting when you're down 6-0, 9-0 in the second inning. You know, there's no way around it, but to me it's a different kind of at bat than if you're batting in a tight ball game and you know, early in the game. But when you're down by six early, I know everybody says, hey, let's not try to get it all back at once, but it's in the back of your mind. And I think batting when you're down by 8 or 9 runs makes it a lot tougher. Houston needs some pitching to give themselves a chance to hit.
Especially when you know that the other side can put up runs in a hurry.
Right.
And
you feel
like, and they've had no problem putting up runs.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that. I know it's there's no way to ever make a comparison between a beer night softball game and a Major League Championship Series game. But just think about it in your own softball league. When your guys are hitting and you're ahead in the game, it seems much more relaxed and easy. Seems like everybody's hitting. When you get down in your softball game, 8-0 in the first inning, second inning, it just changes your whole mental outlook. You'd think, well, we normally score 10 runs a game. But can we score them when we're down 8-0?
Right.
It's a little different.
It certainly changes the perspective, at least from a psychological standpoint.
Yeah, you know, I
think physically, so. It's still the same thing.
Sure.
You got to put up runs. But you're absolutely right. And that's what – now, on the flip side of that, the Astros do have that type of offense where they could very easily put up 12 of their own against Pivetta.
on their side of things. So
they better.
They're not a type of team that you could count out, but they certainly got an uphill climb. There's no doubt
about
it.
Boston has just caught fire. I mean, it started with that 14-6 win in Game 2 against Tampa Bay, and I mean, they're putting double digits up there almost every night. So Red Sox have hit the stride at the right time. And, you know, I keep watching the Red Sox, Tony, and I think of the Padres because this is a Boston team that finished in last place last year. Mm. And I know that the Padres didn't finish in last place, but it feels like they did after what happened the second half of the season. But it's a talented Padre team, just like it was a talented Boston team. They just needed the right manager. They needed some things to go their way, some guys to have a little better than average seasons. And you see, you can come from behind the Orioles
yep.
to being two games away from going to the World Series. It can change that quickly in baseball. And, you know, I feel like the Padres are the kind of team that can do this next year.
Think about that.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if Boston can do it, certainly the Padres can do it, and they got to be thinking along those lines.
Think about that. I mean, Boston was, but did you say it again?
Below the Orioles last year. Below the Orioles, and now they're two games away from the World Series.
They add a few pieces. They bring Kike Hernandez in, and all of a sudden, with the pieces that you know were already kind of surrounding them,
pretty much there.
They get a new manager, Alex Cora, new voice. Alex Cora, and although it was a familiar voice, he wasn't there the year before. Mm-hmm. And look what they do. It's a completely different team this year.
It is possible.
And so it certainly is possible. And so, you know, I think everybody is waiting to see how that situation turns out here in San Diego in terms of who they end up picking as a manager. Now, speaking of managers, one of those guys came off the list officially today,
yeah.
And Aaron Boone will be returning, according to ESPN. He will be returning as manager for the New York Yankees, a 3-year deal with an option.
Yeah, I don't think that's a major surprise.
Per Buster only. No, you're right. It's not a surprise, but there was a lot. You know, we heard conversation about if his name became available.
Yeah.
He would be on the list. Well, his name's not available officially.
Yeah, forget about that.
They've taken it off.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to talk to Dennis Lynn here in a little bit because I know he's very close to the situation and, you know, does some great reporting on the Padres for The Athletic. And, you know, I mean, here's a situation. I'm curious to ask him about Ron Washington because the report's saying that Ron Washington is not going to get an interview. Whether or not that means now or ever, I'm curious to find out, and I'm curious to find out kind of what direction the Padres are starting out in search of their manager. And, you know, getting the right guy is going to make all the difference in the world, I think, for this baseball team. And, you know, so we'll get the latest from Dennis here in about a half an hour. I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to everything on the show today, Tony, except for our Odyssey Fantasy Football update. I was hoping maybe Scraby would scrap that segment today.
I had a feeling it was going to
yeah,
be
Yeah, I had a feeling
center.
He'd remember to put it in there this week. Yeah. I needed 50 points from Josh Allen last night, which was a pie in the sky. He got 29, I think, so he had a pretty good game.
But I almost got the 50 points.
And
I
needed 50 to win your other league, and Derrick Henry, had they gone into overtime, probably would have got that for you.
I think he would have. I think he definitely would have.
He's the truth, as you like to say. And great. Football is just great. I mean, these games are just one after another. Even if you don't have a stake in the game, even if you're, you know, like,
it doesn't even have to be your team.
No, to me, last night was not, even the, and I'm just saying this as an example, but the Miami-Jacksonville game was still interesting, even though they're two terrible teams that very few people out here care about. I watched it, but, you know, it's still a fun game. Came down to the final play and the final possession. I mean, football just seems to churn these games out one after another, and, you know, you wonder why the NFL is as popular as it is, because the games are so good. Baseball can only dream about that. I mean, really, last night, if you had the clicker and you're going back and forth between the football and the baseball, once it was 9-0 Boston, even though it's a championship game, you're flipping over and you're staying with
Absolutely.
Football, and there was no reason ever to leave.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You stay and you end up watching the rest of the football game. I mean, you might have peeked over in between a commercial
to
break.
To see if the Astros caught up at all.
You know that there's a chance that it could happen, but you turn back and you see the score is still well out of reach. And so you go back and you watch a good Monday night
football game. Yeah. And you brought up this earlier. We were talking, why are the Dodgers playing this afternoon against the Braves, especially when the Red Sox are playing on the East Coast tonight, which means that their game won't start until 8 p.m. Eastern time. Dodgers are playing in the middle of the day. You'd think they'd have the East Coast game in the day and the Dodgers at night, but you brought up a good point. The reason for this is most likely because the Lakers are opening up their season tonight at Los Angeles.
Yep.
And they don't want everybody in L.A. having to decide what to watch. They want baseball, wants at least the Dodgers to be on their own so people will watch baseball. Because, I mean, honestly, if you're, you know, if you're a sports fan and you don't have a stake in any of the teams, there's a good chance you're going to watch Lakers Warriors tonight rather than Red Sox Astros tonight.
There is,
even though it's only opening night.
There's no doubt. And listen, there's no other reason why the Dodgers are playing at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
There's zero reason other than the fact that they're on the East Coast. And when I say they, I mean the Red Sox and the Astros. But more importantly, the Lakers are opening up tonight. And so you want, not only do you want everybody watching both of those games, as many people that can go, you want filling the arenas to go to those games as well. So,
how would you like to be a VIP in Los Angeles today and have tickets to the Dodgers and then head on over to Staples and see the Lakers Warriors?
That's an ultimate.
A lot of people will be pulling that doubleheader off.
I mean, watching a team that missed the playoffs last year, I don't understand what the big
Who's
deal
that?
Is.
They didn't miss.
Who missed the playoffs last year? The Warriors?
Watch this back, Bill.
Yeah, the Warriors.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought you meant. That's what I thought you meant.
I've been trying to get Tony's goat all day.
Yeah, well, you're not doing it because, once again, you're being the bearer of misinformation.
What did I say that was wrong?
You said that you're watching a team that didn't make the playoffs,
exactly.
And you were referring to the Lakers. You know you were. You know you were.
I was not.
Yes, you were.
I mean, my own team can't even make the playoffs. Playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great time to bring that up in that conversation about your own team.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, good, bad, the ugly. Also, now that we're done, what was that? Week six? Week five?
Week six?
Week six.
In the books already,
so we're getting ready for week seven. We got, this should be fun. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll get into the conversation that we saw kind of take place during that game last night between Rodriguez and Cora and Correa. There's a kind of a conversation to be had about it. We'll have it in the 5 o'clock hour. But the NL West preseason picks and AL West from both Chris and I are they're due, and so we will be embarrassing ourselves mightily in that 5 o'clock hour as well. So sit back, relax, have some fun with us. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's a little traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, just getting rolling here on Gwen and Chris for a Tuesday afternoon. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. Hope you'll be along for much of the ride this afternoon and evening. We'll keep you up to date on Game 3 of the NL Championship Series. Dodgers still with a 2-0 lead over the Atlanta Braves. Braves are batting in the top of the fourth inning. Corey Seager hit a two-run home run to open things up for the Dodgers. And Braves made a big base-running blunder, Tony. I thought in the top of the first inning, Eddie Rosario, who was the hero in Game 2, singled, and Freddie Freeman singled, so they had two on and nobody out. And I don't know, what do they tell you when you're on second base and there's less than two outs? One of the things I know they yell at you every time. Freeze on a line drive.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Ozzie Albies hit a line shot to center field. Eddie Rosario took off, and it was caught by Gavin Lux. He was doubled off, and that seemed to really boost Walker Buehler, who has now sailed through the first three innings. Charlie Morton on the other side has already walked five, including four walks in the first inning. Dodgers left the bases loaded after they scored those two runs. So yeah. We'll keep you up to date. 2-0 Dodgers in the top of the fourth inning. This hour brought to you by Business Office Outfitters. San Diego business is booming. Is yours? Hey, get the in-stock office furniture your growing team needs today. And Boo Furniture will deliver it tomorrow. Stop into Boo's massive showroom off Claremont Mesa and the 163 or online at Boo, that's B-O-O, furniture.com. A little football to discuss, college style. The Aztecs made a quarterback change today, officially. Brady Hoke announcing that Lucas Johnson will start at quarterback this week for the Aztecs against Air Force. I think more importantly, he mentioned that freshman Will Haskell will serve as the backup quarterback. Now, I don't know if that means Jordan Brookshire is just not physically able to play or he's been demoted to third string, but I think Will Haskell kind of represents the future at the quarterback position for the Aztecs. But they don't really have time to mess around with that. I mean, they're 6-0. They're ranked 22nd in the nation. And they're at Air Force Saturday, Tony. And guess who's favored? Air Force is favored by 3.5 points.
They just took down Boise, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They beat Boise State on the road. And Air Force is 6-1. So it's a big challenge for San Diego State. There's no question about it coming up on Saturday, as the Aztecs will try to stay unbeaten, and Lucas Johnson will get the call. This begins a real tough stretch for the Aztecs. I mean, I don't have these games in front of me in terms of the schedule, but I know they still have to play at Air Force. Then I think they're home to Fresno State. We saw how good they can be earlier this season when they beat UCLA on the road. They also have to play Nevada, Boise State, and they have to go to Hawaii, which is always a treacherous trip. So
we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, it's a tough deal.
It seems like the years that the Aztecs have are off to a good start. They usually have a gauntlet that they have to go to at the end of the season or towards the end of the season that determines, you know, what type of bowl game they end up going to. And it's going to be largely the same this year. With a pretty, I would say this is as tough of a slate in terms of the types of teams they have to play down the stretch that they've had in quite some time.
Yeah, Air Force, Fresno State, Hawaii, and then Nevada, UNLV, Boise State. That's the way they line up. And I you know, I like to think along these lines, but if the Aztecs run the table, and that's a big ask, but if they run the table and finish 12-0, how high in the rankings should they get? You know, I mean, I would say if you're able to beat all of these teams and get there, you know, undefeated with the schedule that they have to play, I would think that they'd have a pretty good chance to get somewhere close to the top 10, Tony. I mean, these are good opponents, and some of them are on the road. They've already knocked off Utah. You know, I think that's the one big win on their schedule, but they're going to get a bunch of big wins if they get hot here, and we'll see, you know, just how high they can get. Now, Cincinnati, which is not in the, you know, the Power Five conferences, is already ranked second, but they don't play anybody the rest of the way except for one game against 21st-ranked SMU.
Yeah.
It's just one thing that bothers me is preseason rankings. Because Cincinnati started in the top 10, and the Aztecs, of course, started unranked. So Cincinnati beat Notre Dame. They've won all the rest of their games. They move up to all the way to number 2 because other teams lose. The Aztecs win all their games, and they're sitting at 22. So Cincinnati has a golden opportunity, obviously, to make the college football playoff, whereas the Aztecs, even if they went 12-0, I don't think they'd get much higher than 10. Do
right.
you?
And no, I don't think they can because of where they started.
And
they
that's right. And that's not right.
It's not. And because they don't have the type of team on that schedule that could prompt a huge jump somewhere,
right,
it puts them at a disadvantage. The mere fact that Cincinnati started a lot higher. You know what it reminds me of, Scraby? It reminds me of the NCAA college football game that we used to play that they had on Xbox, right? Yeah. In order for your team, you knew if you basically had to give a 1 year. If you played with a team like San Diego State, you basically had to give a 1 year hiatus that you could go undefeated and not be even end up in the top 25, right?
Yep.
And then the following year, you would start in the top 25 and you'd have a chance to get higher.
But and you'd also have to score like 80 points a game.
Right. Now you don't have to do that now necessarily in real life, but the point is by starting so far out and being so far out of the folks who vote on this stuff's mind, if they do run the table, it's still unlikely
that they would be able to get where
they would want to go.
Yeah, I'm looking at the preseason ratings. Cincinnati actually opened the season at number 8.
They're right there.
They've jumped up 6 spots. Now, if the Aztecs, for whatever reason, had opened the season at number 8, just because all the teams in front of them have lost, give or take a couple, the Aztecs would probably be sitting in there at number 4 or 5 right now. And with the schedule they have remaining, I think that would be good enough to vault them into contention for a playoff spot.
Yeah, no doubt.
But the fact that they started outside the top 25 and completely unranked and unvoted upon, they didn't even get a vote in the preseason, 12-0 is not going to be anywhere near good enough.
Yeah,
no. And that to me doesn't, that's where you start not determining things on the field. Yeah. And that's why I have a problem with preseason rankings.
I agree.
All right, Dodgers and Braves, Gavin Lux just dropped a deep fly ball up against the wall. Probably should have been caught, would have been caught by Tony Gwynn Jr. at Dodger Stadium. You make that play
Definitely.
In your sleep. But Braves are threatening. They got a couple of runners on in the top of the fourth. Trailing 2-0. We'll tell you what happens when we come back. Dennis Lynn from The Athletic joins us when we come back. Gwynn and Chris sails on here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Tie ball game out in Dodgers Stadium as the game is tied at 2. And it's now going to be a Braves lead here after a misplay, I would say, by Seager. I shouldn't call it a misplay. It was a hard hit ball. He wasn't able to make the play. Braves now up 3-2. Bases loaded. Top of 4. 1 out. As they get to the bottom of the lineup.
Jock Peterson got his old team with an RBI single. And
again.
Adam Duvall had an RBI single. Then, as you said, hard hit ball there by Dansby Swanson. And Seager went to backhand it in the hole. It went off his glove into short left field. So 3-2 Atlanta, they've taken full advantage of that Gavin Lux misplay in center field, Tony, and got the bases loaded. You got the pitcher up, but they've turned it around and have taken a 3-2 lead here with 1 out in the fourth.
Yeah, it looks like Braves got some momentum. We will have Dennis Lynn with us here shortly. Also, very excited about the Los Angeles Lakers opening night tonight against the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. Read my NBA power rankings today, Tony.
Yeah, 3. I believe the Lakers
were at number 3, top team in the Western Conference. I think, even though Phoenix beat them last year, I think the thinking going in this year is, A, the Lakers might have beaten them last year had Anthony Davis not gotten injured, number 1. Number 2, the Lakers have added pretty good player, Russell Westbrook.
Yes, they
so
have.
Obviously the Lakers are going to be awesome this year, even though they're coming off an 0-6 preseason. That doesn't count for a whole lot.
This is the least tense I've seen in Laker base after an 0-6 preseason.
Yeah, usually, I don't think they're too concerned.
Usually they would be out of their minds over this. So this
0-6 is kind of, it does catch your eye.
Right? Especially with the guys they have.
Yeah, but I don't think LeBron maybe played half the games and probably played half the time. So, but, I think the addition of Russell Westbrook was so perfect for them because it gives the Lakers somebody else to control the offense and takes that away from LeBron James, at least from time to time. He doesn't have to constantly, be running the show. And at his age, what is he now, 39?
No, I think he's 37.
37. So, but I mean, what I'm saying is his age.
He's got a lot of miles.
He's in amazing shape, right. So I don't think it really You know, I mean, I'm going to sit there and say, well, LeBron James can't get it done. He'll get it done, but he'll appreciate the fact that he has a little time to, you know, run down the floor and relax and let Russell Westbrook do the thing.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt. No doubt. 7 o'clock tonight, that'll go down. All right, before we get to Dennis Lynn, let's check traffic. Here you go.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline is Dennis Lynn of The Athletic. And Dennis, first, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. I mean, Dennis, you've been The Athletic and yourself and a few of your colleagues have been at the heart of a lot of information that has come out in San Diego and with this Padre ball club, and now they're in a search for a manager. And Aaron Boone comes off the list today. It seems as though Mike Schilt would get an interview, but there has been at least one report saying that Ron Washington at this point right now won't be given an interview. Are you hearing the same thing? And if so, why is that, do you think?
Yeah, I am hearing the same thing, and this isn't just a matter of waiting until the Braves are done with their postseason. Doesn't seem like he's going to be, at this point at least, considered this time around, which I know probably strikes a lot of people as weird, seeing as how he was the other finalist, or I guess you'd call him runner-up last time to Jace Tingler. But yeah, the reasons why, the Padres are being pretty tight-lipped, as you might imagine, with everything these days, but, you know, especially with a manager search and Ron Washington, maybe in the past 2 years, something's changed for the Padres that they feel like they want to go in a different direction just as they did with Jace Tingler and Ron Washington 2 years ago. But it's not entirely clear right now why they might not be considering him this time. But I think just generally speaking, there's a feeling, I think, from coming out from outside Cutco Park that A.J. Preller wants what San Francisco and LA have and their managers, and not necessarily a young guy. It doesn't have to be a young guy, but just the word you hear is total alignment with the front office. And, you know, for better or worse, that's what he's after. So I think just looking at it right now, and again, it's really hard to know exactly what they're thinking because they're not saying, but I think I would lean toward maybe not one of the older veteran managers that you're hearing fanning out about there, but I think we're still early in the interview process. I don't even know if formal interviews even happen. So, you know, things can change quickly, but that's just kind of the feeling that I get right now.
Dennis, you kind of touched on it. I mean, if they want total alignment with the front office, that would seem to really make it difficult for somebody like a Bochy or a Buck Showalter to accept this position. But let me ask you, as far as the controlling nature of things, is the word on the street that A.J. Preller is the kind of guy that really doesn't want to sacrifice any kind of control over what's going on the field? And if so, is that serving him well? I mean, maybe it's best to have an opposing voice once in a while, you know, who doesn't necessarily agree with everything the way things are being run.
Yeah, that's I guess that'd be new territory, right, for A.J. Preller and the Padres if they, after Andy Green and Jace Tingler, they went a totally different direction with a very, very strong voice with a guy who comes in with immediate cachet and really strong opinions. And not to say that, you know, Jace and Andy didn't have it actually, you know, toward the end especially. Even in 2018, I think, there are, you know, more disagreements, you know, started between Andy and A.J., and maybe part of that was because they didn't know each other coming into the process, that didn't have a prior relationship. But I think if you're looking at a, you know, Bochy or a Buck Showalter, even going back to Ron Washington, those are guys who are going to come in with really strong opinions, really strong convictions on the way things should be done. And I don't think it's out of the question that some of those guys, a couple of those guys might get an interview, especially Bochy. I would think he might at least get an interview. But I think, this is just the way things in baseball have really shifted, including not only with the Padres, but with A.J. Preller. But the front office has a lot of say in what's going on. Not necessarily always over like lineup decisions or, you know, minute things, but just general philosophies. And you saw what happened with Mike Schilt in St. Louis. I mean, we don't know the exact reasons. We've heard some of the reasons, but he's a guy who's going to come in. But at the same time, I think, you know, he might be a long shot as well, even if he does interview, which I do expect to maybe get on the, entirely the same page as AJ Preller. And maybe he does need a different voice coming in. But, you know, he's the one running the show, and it's not just unique to San Diego where the GM wants pretty much control over all aspects of the organization.
Dennis Lynn with The Athletic joins us here on Gwen and Chris on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And Dennis, we focused a lot, and I'm sure we'll have a few more questions about it before we get out of here. But how about in terms of the roster? We saw how there was a, at least on outwardly, seemed like there it affected this ball club when, you know, some of the rumors that got out about this team, and it kind of surfaced to the forefront. Do the Padres make? Is there any big roster shakeups you think coming?
Well, if you look at their contract situation, their contract situation right now, they have, I think, the most money in the majors committed for 2022. So just looking at that, it's going to be hard to move some of these contracts if they do, in fact, want to move them. I mean, Eric Hosmer, Will Myers come to mind. We'll see what the landscape looks like, I think, in a couple of months here, assuming they do reach a new CBA. So everyone's waiting on that and waiting to see what the rules are going to be. But I think they're pretty much locked in as far as the core of the team, you know, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis, Jay Cronenworth. You can maybe throw Trent Grisham in there, although he had Padres standards and probably Trent Grisham standards, slightly disappointing year. But yeah, they have a lot of money on the books, so it's going to be a big question of how much flexibility that Peter Seidler is going to give AJ Preller after they're projected to finish in the luxury tax this year, and who knows what the new luxury tax threshold is going to be under the new CBA. So that's a really important question. But I don't see a huge roster shakeup. I can see them, you know, adding some pieces and definitely starting pitching and a power hitter. We'll see again with the rules being uncertain whether there's going to be a universal DH. I think most people are expecting there's going to be, but there's a lot of questions that need to be answered roster-wise, probably maybe even more so than who's going to be managing. But I think you can't discount how important this hire is for AJ Preller, because you saw the talent that the Padres had this past year and 2020, and you know, just who was managing and how that kind of crumbled toward the end, and how that also crumbled in 2019 with Andy Green, although that was a much less talented roster. But you know, there's definitely talent here to work with. It's just a man, like AJ Preller said, a matter of getting on the same page, getting everybody on the same page, and I think you'll see different results if they can achieve that.
Dennis Lynn of The Athletic is with us talking some Padres baseball here as the postseason carries on without the Padres, unfortunately. Dennis, you mentioned Peter Seidler, and I guess the most direct way to ask this is A.J. Preller general managing for his job in the upcoming season? We know his contract situation extended and et cetera, but can the Padres carry on with A.J. Preller if there's no success on the field again, especially with a third manager?
Well, I think that answer is going to become much more clear when we get to that point, or when we cross that bridge, say in 2022, they don't make the playoffs. I know Peter Seidler's already come out kind of downplayed, you know, this isn't a make or break year for A.J. I believe strongly in him, you know, Peter speaking, as I ever have. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, he does believe that. You hear that, you know, AJ Preller does have the authority to make this third managerial hire. So that's not necessarily, I guess, the average way most teams are run. But, you know, Peter Seidler really has faith in AJ Preller to turn this around. And they've invested so much under Peter and Ron and Ron Fowler and AJ Preller that I think, you know, they're kind of reluctant to, you know, shake things up in that way by maybe ousting a GM in a year. But it's also going to depend, of course, on what happens in 2022. But for now, I think, I would tend to believe Peter Seidler when he says AJ Preller's job is as safe as any GM's out there. And I think, you know, some people might look at that and think, that's kind of weird given how much money they poured into this thing and how few results they've had in a full season. So that's really interesting dynamic, I think, you know, for the next manager to come in and navigate whether it's going to be a super secure job. But I think, you know, given what Peter Seidler has said and how he's backed up his words with action in terms of investing and giving Adrian Preller a lot of latitude, I think, yeah, maybe 2022 won't be as much of a make or break year as we think. Yeah, and I think you have to see how the results play out and go from there.
Dennis, is there a name that aligns with some of the criteria that you talked about in terms of that manager? Is there a name out there that may fit that mold?
I think there was some thought that Aaron Boone, if he became available, would probably be a pretty intriguing fit. Obviously, he's not available. He's staying with the Yankees for at least a couple more years. So that name's off the board. You heard that, you know, Adrian Preller is pretty intrigued by that potential fit. But, yeah, outside of that, it's a really interesting landscape, I think, right now, because it's not like there are a ton of managerial options out there that really jump off the page as the media fits. You hear Luis Rojas' name mentioned quite a bit, but maybe more so as a potential coach for the Padres after what happened in New York. He might not be quite ready to jump back in and be a manager right away, especially for a team that's trying to win right now. I think if you're looking at other names out there, you think about Will Venable, who I know, Tony, you played with. I don't know if you ever predicted he'd be a future manager back then, but I think he's getting a lot of attention in the industry, being the best coach for arguably the best manager going right now, and Alex Cora. He might be ready at some point, but that's a big risk for someone who's never managed before. So we'll see how much consideration he gets for the Padres job, if he's in fact even interested in something like that. But, you know, obviously they've got a good thing going on right now in Boston. But outside of that, there's not a lot of, I think, just obvious names where you would think total alignment. Yeah, that's probably going to be very possible there. I think Skip Schumacher is an interesting name, although maybe AJ and the Padres want to get away from this coaching staff, get away from, you know, what just didn't really work out for 2021. It's really tough to handicap this race right now or this manager search. I think it might be someone we're not thinking of, just like kind of like it was the last few times. I don't think anyone was going to predict Jay Stengler and Andy Green at the very start of those interview processes, although, you know, some people were definitely predicting Jace, just knowing AJ's history with them. So I think right now, if I had a guess, it might be a name that we haven't even heard of.
Yeah. Dennis Lynn with us. Real quick, Dennis, got a couple of minutes left. Looking at what the Red Sox are doing this year and getting hot at the right time. And, you know, it gets me thinking that the Padres have the kind of roster, the kind of talent, at least on paper, that if they get this manager thing right and they get things turned, there's no reason that I can see why they couldn't make a similar type of move next year. You know, Boston's a couple of games away from the World Series. I know that's a lot to say, but this Padre team seems close enough to where if they get this right, make a couple of tweaks, there's no reason we couldn't be talking about the Padres next year in October.
No, not at all. I know, you know, some teams out there are still thinking the Padres are really, really close to the Dodgers in terms of talent. We'll see what the Giants do this offseason. Seems like they've got some spending flexibility that the Padres obviously don't. But I think the big question for the Padres is whether – it's not just a 26-man roster, in my opinion. I think it's about building enough depth and flexibility on the 40-man roster. I think everyone would agree that coming into the season, Adrian Preller built a really good 26-man roster, but you saw some of the issues they had with depth beyond the 26-man roster, and especially guys that could just option up and down freely, especially in terms of relievers, actually. So that's a big question, I think, for the Padres to address going into next season, just how flexible and functional the 40-man roster is, and that goes beyond just having a really talented 26-man roster. But I think if you're looking at just the overall talent in the organization, it's still way up there as far as MLB organizations go. I just think the Padres need a shell that can, you know, put it to a really good use and kind of maneuver around the problems that cropped up in 2021, because, you know, those injury risks or those injury concerns are just going to go away. The Padres need to prove that they can, you know, navigate those things like San Francisco and LA was able to in 2021.
One of the best we have in our business, Dennis Lynn of The Athletic. Dennis, thank you for coming on today. Let's do it again soon, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That was Dennis Lynn of The Athletic on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. All right. Lot to take in there from Dennis Lynn.
Good stuff, though.
Very good stuff. We got Chris versus the Fan coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. If you guys want to get a chance to take him down, qualify for that Vegas and casino or Vegas resort and casino trip. Here's your chance, 833-288-0973. Get in line. See if you could take down Ello. Chris, I continue to feel like, and listen, this is just based off of everything we've read, everything that's been said, that there's a chance that this isn't going to be that veteran manager that everybody is hoping for. There is a chance that that is the case.
Yeah, I think, you know, Bochy's name is going to be continually mentioned throughout this process. But the more I hear, the more we talk to guys, the more I kind of think about it. Yeah, the veteran manager probably not going to fit with A.J. Preller. I mean, it's going to have to be somebody that wants to work right alongside A.J., and I think somebody that's going to be willing to be molded into this organization a little bit. And not to say that Bruce Bochy can't do it. I just don't think he'd be willing to give up full control. And so I think you should get ready for somebody young and on the way up, even though that didn't work the last two times.
That Venable name is... Keep that in the back of your mind. Because when you hear all of... When you hear Dennis say total alignment, that's what the Giants have. That's what the Dodgers have. He's a veteran manager now. He wasn't always a veteran manager. We'll get into it more later on the show. Chris versus the Fan on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.